everyone, and welcome to Minute 145 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today on this lovely, brisk Friday, with lots of snow on the ground by me and you, in the middle of January, is Joe Amadei, Great Escape historian, film buff, and president of Virgil Films. Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's nice and warm inside, that's for sure.
So, that is definitely true.
Yes.
No question about that. All right, it's been a lot of fun talking with you all week, and we have one more day to talk about this movie. So let's jump right in.
You got it.
Minute 145 begins with Cavendish entering the dungeon and goes all the way till we get to see Henley and Blythe play limbo with the wing. So basically, as we were discussing yesterday, Cavendish got caught, Cavendish was interrogated, Cavendish gave the same answers that everyone else gave, and was just thrown in the dungeon, where we get to see at least another 13 escapees in there with him, including Haynes. So yes. He walks in, everyone obviously, all these characters look pretty embarrassed that they got caught so quickly.
Yes, they do.
And they're also very uneasy about sitting there. Nobody knows what's going to happen to them, what their fate is. And then Cavendish walks in and cheerfully says, "Hello, yeah, boys." which is a very interesting thing to say at
very
this point.
Very Cavendish-ly.
I guess he has nothing else to say. What's his
or Cavendish X. S. I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. Then he turns to one of the extras as he's walking and goes, "Hello." Yeah. And doesn't get a response. And then he walks over to Haynes and goes, "Hello, Haynes." Yeah, you know, Cavendish is a little overly friendly here. You'd think that he'd be in a much more somber mood. Or maybe he's no longer somber because he's no longer alone.
Could be, you know. But again, it's... You know,
safety in numbers?
The one thing about Nigel Stock is he never breaks character. He's always a little off.
That's true. It's very true. And then Haynes finally gives a response and says, "Ah, hello, Cavendish." And then he goes, "I wish I could say I was happy to see you again."
Yeah, Haynes is just picked up. Haynes is upset. He's smoking a cigarette, I think. Isn't he? No, he's not.
He's not. No. Okay, I don't think so. No, he's wringing.
He's
his
wringing
hands.
His hand.
He's wringing his jacket.
Okay, and he's obviously he's very upset.
Yeah. Now, in the movie that you made, Larry Montag?
It's like Montag. Yeah, Montag.
Montag.
Yeah, he narrated.
He narrated it. Yeah. Did you get to meet him also?
No, I did not. Again, my involvement with the film was the film had been shot and needed editing, and I helped with the editing. Not physically editing, but giving notes on different cuts with the director and Steve Rubin, the producer. And then I took the film out. I distributed it.
Ah, okay.
We actually showed it at the Cannes Film Festival in the market, which was a lot of fun. Steve and his family flew over. My partner in the film, Mike Meister, flew over for it. It was a lot of fun. And Chris Espion, who is the director, is from Cannes. He lives there. So
this
is a big moment for him.
Especially given the fact that this was his dream project.
Dream project
that he was doing for his father. So
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
So Cavendish at that point says, "Yes, I was just picked up this morning." So that, again, makes us wonder how much time has passed, you know, since the escape. My guesstimation is it's been about 2 or 3 days maximum.
Real life time, it was 2 or 3 days. I mean, they caught these guys almost immediately. Not all of them, but a huge bulk of them were caught immediately.
Yes, exactly. Bernstein has a very interesting choice of music at this point, because once again, as we discussed earlier this week, he gives a sound here that makes things sound much more hopeful than it really is.
Yes,
the music is more upbeat, making you think, okay, they've been caught, and you know they're going to be, you know, it's like when you go fishing, you know, just for the sport of it, and you're going to throw the fish back into the pond. You know, you're not going to kill them.
Right.
So it's the same type of thing. You've been caught. All right, we're putting you back in the camp.
Yeah.
And that's what the music to me says in this scene.
Yeah, because that's normally what would happen.
Yes, that's very true. I mean, this was the first time that didn't happen.
Right.
Someone once told me that most of the prisoners at the time, if you didn't get shot when you were being captured, then you were fine. Meaning they weren't going to shoot you afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, you can get shot, I guess, going over the fence like lives. You can get shot running from the fence. You can get shot if they tell you to stop and you don't stop. But once you're captured, chances were they were not going to shoot you.
Well, Mr. You know, Adolf didn't like the fact that they did this right under his eyes. 90 yes. miles away, and from what I've read, Goring fought him on it. Hitler wanted everybody shot.
Yeah.
Everybody. And Goring got him to agree to 50.
Right. Who knows? That must have been an interesting conversation, that negotiation between the two of them. Oh,
76. No, 50.
No, not 76. They only caught 70,
73.
73.
Yeah, that's right. 73. All right, give me 60. 40. No, give me 40. Yeah. All right, we'll agree on 50. And how did he choose the 50?
That's also a very good question. Okay. I don't know the answer to that. I think it was somewhat random.
Yeah, and you wonder why they ended up with exactly 50 when they shot Bushel or Bartlett, you know, wasn't anywhere. It was just him on the side of a street. Or I think they let him out to go to bathroom or something like that. I mean, it was pure murder. It just wasn't like it was in the film, but that's another.
Right. I mean, we find out later in the film that the truth is they shot more than 50 because they talk about 50 and they go through the list, but that list doesn't include Ashley Pitt. Actually, wait, no, it did include Ashley Pitt, but it didn't include
Blythe. Nope.
Right. So it's possible that, you know, I think in reality, the original list wasn't complete at the beginning.
Okay.
Again, there was no Blythe.
It didn't exist.
You know, who was... Right, so that's a little... And actually, Ashley Pitt also...
Or did Cavendish. So
but I'm talking about the ones who we saw shot separately from the 50, or whatever it is. Yeah. Right, so we get to see this very somber shot in this dungeon with, you know, with the little light bulb hanging in the middle of the room. Stuff like that. And as I said, the music gives us false hope that something good is about to happen to these characters.
Yeah.
Which is done well. You know, for someone who's never seen this movie, this scene doesn't prepare you for what will happen in about less than 20 minutes from now. Then the shot changes and we get to see Henley and Blythe come over this little hill and walk to the corner of what seems to be I know what it is because you can see the tail end of an airplane there, so it must be some sort of airplane hangar. And it's just very funny because, I mean, we've discussed this numerous times, the fact that the way that Henley handles Blythe, you know, Blythe is blind, but he just holds him and leads him in a very strange way. It's not the way that one would normally lead a blind person. From what I know.
You mean the way he just pulls him aside?
He's like, and they're walking. Sometimes Blythe is walking in front of him.
Well, it's movie blindness.
You know. Yes. You know, and he like grabs both of his hands from behind. You know, and pushes him up against the edge of the hangar and stuff like that. He's a little rough. And then, like, he holds him with his arms under his armpits, with his hands under his armpits.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, moving him along. That's just not a very... I guess at this point, Henley's a little frustrated that he's the seeing
eye. Well, I think, Henley's very frustrated because, obviously, you know, he's made this promise to Blythe, and now he has to keep it. And he realizes that could stop him from escaping. I mean, if Henley was on his own, he might have made it. Well, I don't know if he does make it, because that's in another episode.
Yes. We'll only find that out next week. Or no, 2 weeks.
But the handling of Blythe is, even from the very beginning, I'm sure maybe you talked about this on previous episodes, but it's not like a person who knows how to be with a blind person would handle it. Maybe that's the whole key to this, is that Henley had no idea. He just wanted to get him, you know, closer to that plane.
Right. No, but also, like, he throws him up against the rudder of the plane.
Yeah.
You know. And then at this point, Henley then talks to Blythe and says, "There's a little trainer out there that I can that I can fly." Now, wait a second. Isn't he a pilot? He's a pilot in the RAF. He can only fly the trainer. I mean, I don't know. I've never flown flown a plane, and I probably should ask this of any pilots that I might know. You know, is it that you know how to fly one type of once you know how
there's
to
a lot
of,
or is it don't like they show multiple? Well, yeah. I don't know if they show multiple airplanes, but they show more than one, right? A whole bunch.
There's a whole bunch.
But there's only one.
But there's only a trainer that he can fly. Basically, what they never told us is that Henley, one of two things. Either Henley got shot down on his first flight, or Henley is so good at scrounging that he was able to get someone else's uniform, and he's really
that
not
could
a
be.
Pilot.
I don't know.
You know, it reminds me of from the Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah.
You know, where you know, William Holden is basically, he stole someone's uniform. Hoping that as an officer he'd get treated better. So maybe that's what Henley did here too. You never know.
But there's a feeling while all of this is happening, there is a feeling that these guys are going to make it.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. Throughout the entire movie, they give us the impression when they're showing each of these characters, like even when you see Cavendish get in the truck and, you know, you see Bartlett and McDonald get on the train or get off the train, they give you the impression that everyone is safe and that they're going to get out. Which is one of the things I love about this is that they obviously, because it's based on a true story, they're not going to be able to do that. But they don't sugarcoat things.
Yep.
But they also allow to give us that false
hope. And
that
could be that music that you were just talking about. Yeah. It leads right into this, you know, the next scene of, you know, this film obviously follows each storyline, each person's storyline. And now you're with Henley, who's one of the key, you know, one of the stars in the movie. I mean, he's definitely going to make it. It's James Garner.
Yeah, of course. He's one of the three Americans.
He's one of the three Americans, yeah.
Right. So then Blythe asks him, well, are there any sentries around? And we get to see one sentry walking. And
one.
And he goes, yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
There's one guy around here. At this point, they start walking around the plane in a very funny way. It's like, it reminds me of how, you know, like when kids are pretending that they're spies or something like that, and they do all these different like rolls and picks and you know, they're pretending, and they're, you know, like you're holding your fingers in the motion of a gun,
right.
You know, and you're going to pretend that you're doing things, and that's more or less what he does here, because he takes him in and quickly walks him in and pushes him up against the one of the planes, and the two of them put their backs against the plane to try to, you know, that, oh, if anyone looks in this direction, they won't see us because we're leaning back flat against the side of of the
plane. Our images are molding into the plane.
Exactly.
But he's got to take care of that guy.
Yes. And then he like grabs him by the neck and pushes him down as he's leading him under the wing of the plane. which again, it's I understand that he's trying to save him from bumping his head.
Right.
But you could probably do it in a gentler way than what he's doing here. That's pretty much the end of this minute. There isn't that much that happens here. You know, we had the quick little conversation between Cavendish and Haynes, and now we get to see Henley and Blythe run around trying to be as inconspicuous as possible by being conspicuous.
You know, I always wondered if there was, and again, I'd have to go back and revisit the books, if there was a forger. You know,
there was, but he didn't go blind.
Okay.
And if that's your question.
Okay. And did he make it out of the camp?
I do not recall.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I also know that one of the things they mentioned in the book is that there were a lot of the prisoners who helped in the escape that were barred from actually escaping because they said, we need to have you stay here to help in the future with digging tunnels, with making new maps, with making, you know, with the different expertise.
Wow.
Because I mean, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would you, you know, if you let everybody out, who knows how to dig a tunnel?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen with everyone who's left?
Yeah, and were there
fend for yourself?
Were there other escape attempts after this one?
I believe that there were. I mean, I know that there's a. This is shown in the pseudo sequel.
Okay.
You know, the one directed by Judd Taylor from 1988, The Great Escape 2. The real story? No, The Great Escape 2, The Untold Story.
Yeah, I have that movie on VHS. I can't find it on DVD.
It probably never came out.
Probably
never. So it's
interesting because, you know, it's got Christopher Reeve and obviously.
So get the rights for it and put it out on DVD.
I should.
There you go. You got a production company.
Yeah, sure. Why not? A lot of people are buying DVDs these days. Yeah.
So get it put online.
That's what I need to do. Yeah. Yeah.
So in that movie, they show that there were four prisoners who were put in another, they were put in like a police station or something like that, or in another camp. No, actually, in the movie, it was another police station, but I recall that they were put in another camp, and they dug their way out of that camp also within days. They re-escaped from that.
Wow.
So, yeah, these guys didn't give up afterwards.
No.
No question about that. No,
that was the spirit, you know? And that's probably what has drawn me to this film throughout my entire life, that spirit of we are never going to give up. That's not just an American thing. That's a worldwide thing. And
correct. And that's Hiltz.
That's what Hiltz
stands for.
That is Hiltz.
Hiltz.
To a T, no matter what.
Exactly. He's, every time that he goes into the cooler, he's smiling.
He's smiling. Every single
and
time.
And he's playing with, he's bouncing that ball against the wall.
Yep. And that means it's not over, you know?
Right. It means you haven't beaten me.
You haven't beaten me. And there's very few films that I've encountered that you walk away with that spirit and you continue to have that spirit forever. I mean, there have been other films, but this one just stays with you. Those of us that love this film really love this film.
Correct.
I mean, if it's playing anywhere on a screen within 50 miles, I will go, you know. And I have some friends that will go with me. But you know, I've experienced showing it to my children. I've been in an audience with my youngest daughter where the entire audience started applauding after the jump. It's a big part of my movie background. It really is. Wow. You know, I went to school for filmmaking just 1 year. And, you know, the professor would say, you know, what's your favorite movie? And guys, people would put their hands up and say, obviously, Citizen Kane. Or they'd say, you know, some, you know, 8 and a half or some Fellini film. And I'd go, Great Escape. And they'd all look at me. And I'm like, well, you know, have you seen 8 and a half 50 times? No. Have you seen Citizen Kane 50 times? No. You know?
Do you know it by heart?
Yeah. Do you know it by heart? Do you know the lines by heart? And I guess probably the most recent film that is now getting, at least here in the States, that kind of notoriety where people watch it over and over again would be Shawshank Redemption. People just watch.
Okay.
And again,
yeah,
it's a film about they don't give up, you know?
That's right. In Israel, the Hebrew title for the movie is Chomot Shel Tikva, which means Walls of Hope.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because, you know, if you would call it Shawshank, yeah, no one would know what the hell you're talking about. I mean, even in English, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about Shawshank, but when I went to go see Shawshank in the theater, I had forgotten the fact that I had read the Stephen King novella a few years before, because the novella is called Rita Hayworth in the Shawshank Redemption.
Rita Hayworth.
And they decided to cut the title because they didn't want people to think that you're going to watch a movie about Rita Hayworth.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this has been, I mean, you know, the fact that here we are, how many years later? When did this movie come out in 63?
We're talking 59 years as of now. We're now in 2022, so it's 59 years. They filmed it 60 years ago.
And the interest is still there. This movie shows on so many different channels here in the United States. It is one of the biggest selling it is one of the most lucrative films in MGM's catalog. I mean, it's up there with Wizard of Oz as far as revenue is concerned.
Wow.
And that's because of DVD and television licensing and streaming licensing. It's a film that's going to, it'll live for a long, long time.
Let's
especially if there's people like you and I out there talking about it all the time. What you're doing, by the way, is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm not the first person to do a Movies by Minute podcast. I mean, there are over 200 Movies by Minute podcasts as of our recording.
Yeah.
The number has gone up exponentially. I'm assuming, in the months since between us recording and this airing, as of today, there are 197 official Movies by Minute podcasts, but that number is definitely going to be higher.
But when
this gets published, but
I've listened to all of them. None of them are as good as this one, and none of them are as good as this past week. Sorry, nice.
That's all right, Joe. No problem. I sort of agree with you.
This is great. I mean,
I don't want to disparage any of my colleagues, who've done such great work.
I do have to give a shout out to Steve Rubin, who I think he gave you my name.
Of course,
Steve's a great guy.
He was just on last week.
Great guy, good friend, and I hope
Steve is the one who got me David McCollum's phone number, so that helps also.
There you go. And
it's always good to have connections, and. You're going to get me some, too.
Yeah. And Steve's the only guy we know that actually met Steve McQueen.
That's true. Very true.
And that's something. But this
yeah, completely
been great. I mean, minute by minute. Next time, can you pick, like, Ben-Hur or something like that, That's even longer?
Wait, you're saying I should pick something longer? I should be picking something that's better. That's the question.
Oh, well... I don't know.
I mean, I think one of the reasons why this works so well for me is to do a Movies by Minute podcast, you have to be passionate about the movie.
Yes.
And I am. And a lot of my guests have been also, including you and Steve and Chris and lots of others. I mean, I have a whole week coming up also where all my guests are people who have real connections to the real escapees.
Great.
So, we're going to have their perspectives on it also. One of them is actually a relative of Roger Bruchel. So, I'm looking forward to having that conversation with him.
Yes.
I wanted to give an overall view of what people think of this movie and how it compares to the real events and how that affects people's outlook on the movie itself.
Yeah, for me, I think I said this in an earlier podcast. For me, it just enhances my love of the film, because basically it's the story of a bunch of guys that just never gave up, and they all had histories of never giving up. And Roger, he led the way. He may have been a little foolish and arrogant at the end, but I mean, this guy had so many different escapes throughout his life, and he had a great background. He's a great backstory.
Yes.
True hero. We could be doing a lot worse things out there, Loving loving movies has kept me safe from a lot of other things, loving and loving this film, why not? There's nothing like it.
That's right. All right, so you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. My email is the best way, joe@virgilfilmsent.com, virgilfilmsent.com, or please feel free to go to our website, virgilfilms.com. We're actually in the middle of rebuilding it, so you can take a look at the other films that we've released and see what we're all about, and... yeah, that's the best way to contact us.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, please go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to this show. You can go to our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. Our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler, and our Twitter account is greatescapemxm. Joe, I've had a lot of fun this week. Thank you very much for joining me.
Me too. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know what I'm going to do next week.
What do you mean? You're going to be listening to the next five episodes to find out what happens after these acrobatic moments that, that Henley and Blythe take around this airplane. What else would you be doing? Just like all of our other thousands upon thousands of listeners.
No, this has been wonderful. I am honored. I really am honored to be a part of this. And I thank you for considering me and putting up with me for a week.
Oh, come on. I think I'm the one who needs to be honored here, but you know, to have you as a guest. So thank you very much for all of your insight and all of your comments about this movie.
You're welcome.
All right. So everyone have a great weekend, and until Monday, tally ho.
Tally ho.